Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
God spoke and the universe began. He spoke and life was born, spiritual life, angels, humans, he just spoke. That God who did all that by just speaking, do you think he has the capability of dealing with your problem? Do you think he can possibly deal with it? You see, that's what he's telling Jeremiah. Look, I'll deal with it. You see, I'll deal with it. You see, always asking us is the trust. When it says all things work together for the good, I'll be honest. Do I understand all the things that work together? No. I just trust him. I can't possibly understand everything, but I can trust them.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Philippians chapter 4. And what I want to say is this: we appropriate the peace of God by praying honestly with gratitude toward God. And I'll explain it now as we go on. Notice verse 6. Very short and sweet. Be anxious for nothing. There's no circumstance that you can go to God and say, Lord, I can't react any other way. You know I have to be anxious about it. He said, you don't need to be anxious about anything. And as we go on, it becomes a little bit clear. He says, be anxious for nothing. He says, but in everything. Now, what does that include? That's everything, right? Yeah, that's everything I can imagine. He says, in everything by prayer. That's the common word for prayer. It's normal. It means face to face, literally. Think about that. Whenever you pray, you go face to face with God. This is important on how you approach God. You remember the burning bush with Moses? And remember God said, take your sandals off. Do you remember why? He said, this is holy ground. You're in my presence. See, I'm holy. Whenever you pray face to face with God, you're on holy ground. See, that's the important thing of what John writes in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, all my sins have been forgiven at the cross. I'm justified. But in my relationship with God, I need to keep short accounts with my sins. I need to confess or say the same thing, homologeo, that God does. About my sins. I need to be aware of my sin. Why? It has a lot to do with my prayer life. In fact, in Psalm 66:18, David writes, if I regard wickedness in my heart, he will not hear me. There's a condition here if I'm going to come and pray to God, that I'm in holy ground. I'm face to face with God. Notice another thing. At the end of that verse, he said, make a request known to God. You don't pray to a saint. You don't pray to a priest. You don't pray to anybody. You pray to God. We have a mediator between us and God. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews said, come boldly to the Holy of Holies. You see, where you may receive mercy and grace, come boldly into the presence of God. He said, you need to pray. You need to come boldly. In everything, he says, you need to do that. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication. That's an interesting word. It's a pleading word. It's a word that deals with a real special need. It's an emotive word. It means emotional. A specific need. Some of the commentators, and I have a tendency to agree with them, say that it's what's behind my prayer, the supplication. And that is, what am I, maybe you've never thought of this, but whenever I'm praying for something, what is my spiritual prayer behind my prayer? You see, I want Uncle Louie's test to come back benign, right? And the question would be, why? Do you have a spiritual reason for it? You see, that Uncle Louie could be a better testimony for the Lord, that Uncle Louie may be exposed to the Lord and receive the gospel. Do I have something more in mind than just simply that it's benign? Is there something more behind this? That's my supplication. And I challenge you as you pray to think, what's the spiritual thing that I'm praying for here? It's a good challenge for all of us. He then says after that, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Well, that's the key. Notice he said you need to be thankful when you pray. When are you thankful? When he answers what you want. Right? Now I'm thankful. Isn't Jesus good? Be careful with that. Anybody who gets what they want, believer or unbeliever, is a pretty happy, thankful person. They got what they wanted. He says, no, no, you need to be thankful when you pray. You need to give thanks up front. How do you do that? Let me ask you some questions. Is God sovereign? What's he sovereign over? Everything. Oh, okay. Is God loving? Yes, love's infinite. Is he just? Okay. Is he for you or against you? Oh. Now, if you put those together, can you trust him? But do you? As soon as you lead anxiety in, you're not trusting him anymore. You see, you're not trusting him. He says, look, I'm sovereign, I'm loving, I'm just, I'm for you, I'm not against you, and a lot of other good things. You see, thank me now. You see, that's the way this thing works. Thank me now. Don't thank me afterwards. Thank me right now. He said that the way I view it is sort of three stages. The first stage is remembrance of God's supply in the past. This is just something I do for myself. Try to remember what God has done for me in the past. And by the way, it's worked out. How do I know? I'm here. Right? So I'm still here, and so are you. You see, I want to remember that. Secondly, I want to submit to God's sovereignty in the present. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good, right? That's true, right? So is this one of those things that you're anxious about? Is this one of the things that you're anxious about that's going to work together for your good? Are you anxious about something that's going to work for your good? See, you have to answer, yes. I'm anxious about something that I know is going to work for my good. Just call it what it is. That's what anxiety does. Notice, built into anxiety is a distrust for God. Either God can't do something or he doesn't care enough to do something. Therefore, I feel this anxiety. I feel all of this anxiety. So, remembrance of what he's done in the past, submission to what God's sovereignty is doing in the present, and trust in God's sufficiency for the future. John Piper calls it future grace. Can I count on future grace? Yes. Can you? Yes. That's the nature of God. See, that builds right into hope, counting on the future grace of God. Let me illustrate this. Back in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is a prophet, and he's prophesying to Israel and God to Judah, and God told him up front, by the way, you're going to be a prophet your whole life, and no one's going to believe anything you say. It's quite a calling when you think about it, you know. No wonder he's called the weeping prophet. He finds himself in the middle of Jeremiah in prison. Not only is he in prison, but Nebuchadnezzar's right at the gates of Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and ransack Jerusalem and the temple. And he's going to carry off the best of the Jews back into captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah is in prison. And while he's in prison, God says to Jeremiah, oh, there's something I want you to do. He said, I want you to buy a field from your uncle. Now, what? Yeah, I want you to buy a field from your uncle. Now, I'm not a real estate agent. Most of you aren't either. But would you buy a field from somebody when another nation is going to come in and conquer you and carry you off and take possession of the land? Does that make any sense to you at all? He says to Jeremiah, no, you buy the field. Now, it's interesting as you read on in chapter 32, it says this. It says that God wants to show the people then. He said, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. That's why I want you to buy it now. Jeremiah responds and says this. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing's too difficult for you. You created everything. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. God spoke and the universe began. Everything that exists in the universe, and now we know it's so big and so unimaginable to us. He spoke and life was formed, spiritual life, angels, humans. He just spoke. That God who did all that by just speaking, do you think he has the capability of dealing with your problem? Do you think he can possibly deal with it? You see, that's what he's telling Jeremiah. Look, I'll deal with it. You see, I'll deal with it. You see, always asking us is the trust. When it says all things work together for the good, I'll be honest. Do I understand all the things that work together? No. I just trust them. I can't possibly understand everything, but I can trust them. You see, that's a very important thing. That's why he said to Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and ways in yours. I say, I got it. I trust you. You see, that's a very important thing. So after we say, do all that, notice what happens next. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Be specific. There's my request. After I'm thankful about the greatness of God, Lord, here's my request. He says, go ahead and tell me. Here's where we get in trouble a little bit. You know, every once in a while, and maybe you've thought this way, I don't want to bother them with some of mine. They're just little things. They're just little things. You ever notice something about anxiety, though? It's sort of like the Old Testament says, foxes in the vineyard. If you get enough of them, little things going together, guess what? It becomes a big thing, and you become anxious. And it's just a whole lot of little things. I just need to talk through a whole lot of little things. Please don't ever use the words little and big with God. I heard this before. I love this story. G. Campbell Morgan, the great British Bible teacher, a woman came up to him after he had done a conference and said, do you think that we should pray about little things in our lives or just the big things? He looked her in the eye and said, madam, can you think of anything in your life that's big to God? Think of that. Is there anything in your life that's big to God? Everything's the same to God. It's all little things to God. There's no such thing as a big thing to God. He just speaks and it's done. The question is, are you going to trust him with that? Notice if I do this, verse 7, the results. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. That's the result. You want peace? There it is. The peace of God. Notice it's not peace as the world gives. This is the peace of God. This is the peace that Jesus said, I'll give you my peace. He said, let me define it more. It surpasses all comprehension. Do you imagine how many people that were held as prisoners to the Nazi by the Nazis would say together when they were alone, do you understand why Bonhoeffer's so happy every day? Do you get it? Why is he acting like that? How can he see joy in all this? You see, that doesn't make sense to me. You should be worried right now. We should be anxious right now. That's the way the world thinks. It's beyond all comprehension. Bonhoeffer said, I'm fine. See, the Apostle Paul had the same peace. That's why they couldn't do anything to him. Remember, they were trying to threaten him by taking his own life. And Paul said, don't push me there, because if you have me make a choice, I'd rather go home and be with the Lord today. So don't threaten me with death. I view it as an advantage. You see, I believe all things are going to work together for good, including this. And the rest of us say, how do they do that? Tell me how they do that. I don't understand how they do that. That's our flesh speaking. It surpasses all comprehension. That's what he says. It surpasses all comprehension. And notice what it does. It will guard your heart. And it will be the sentry over your mind. It'll not only give me peace now, but it'll protect me in the future if I do this. Now, understand, this is a process. I have to do this every day. I have to pray every day this way. I have to thank God every day. I can't say, well, I did it on Monday, I'm good for the next year. I'm not. You see, I have to do this on and on and on. I have to be trusting him all the time. And not only in my prayer life, but also I have a big responsibility even in my thought life. Arthur Summers Roach had a really insightful thing talking about anxiety. He said this, anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through your mind. If encouraged, it cuts into a channel into which all your other thoughts are drained. Once you start with anxiety, and I know some of you, almost every thought you have is anxious. Almost every thought is worrisome. And it just goes on and on and on. And it becomes a defining factor in your life. And the one thing I can tell you for sure, you never have peace when you begin to think in that way. He said, really, you have to change. You have to think about it in a different way. Notice, finally, brethren. He said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now, when you look at those, what do you think of? You see, at first, when you first read it, you think, should I think of butterflies and unicorns? You know, is that what he wants me to do? Just think about those kinds of things? He wants you and I to think about him. Let me read it again. Is God true? Is he honorable? Is he right? Is he pure? Is he lovely? You see, is he of good reputation? And is there any excellence? Is there anything worthy of praise when I think of God? Yes. See, this is another key element to me. Yes, I'm responsible for how I think, and so are you. I found this week. I love this. Max Lucado said this. You probably know this, but in case you don't, I am so thrilled to give you the good news. You can pick what you ponder. He says, you didn't select your birthplace or your birth date. You didn't choose your parents or siblings. You don't determine the weather or the amount of salt in the ocean. There are many things in life in which you have no choice. But the greatest activity of life is well within your dominion. You can choose what you think about. You can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You occupy the control tower and can direct the mental traffic of your world. Thoughts circle above, coming and going. If one of them lands, it's because you gave it permission. If it leaves, it's because you directed it to do so. You select your own thought pattern. It turns out that our most valuable weapon against anxiety weighs less than 3 pounds and it sits between our ears. He says, think about what you think about. The writer of Proverbs said, as a man thinks, so he is. Wow. Is that scriptural? Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Same idea. Even look at the next verse. He says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. I love that. It means that if you experience the abundant life and you have a life of peace, minister to other people. This is what every parent should be able to tell their child. Instead of creating a child with a whole pattern of anxiety in her life, say, just watch me. As we go through life, watch me. See if I have peace or anxiety. Paul just says his, he says it to the whole church. He says to all of you, you know I have peace. He's writing this in prison, by the way. And the theme of the whole book of Philippians is his joy. How do you have joy and peace in prison? The Lord. I have the peace of God. He said, what you see in me, practice for yourselves. And so, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And for this to happen, you and I have to make fundamental choices. I know that we have peace with God. Jesus has offered us the peace of God. I appropriate the peace of God by praying honestly with gratitude and thanksgiving to God. And I need to fill my thought life with the good things of God. And if I do that, I begin to experience peace instead of anxiety. Let me simply close by reading this story that I found this week. It's a story of a man who was on a long-haul flight when the voice of the captain came across the speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your seatbelts. I'm asking flight attendants to be seated, and we're suspending beverage service because we're expecting turbulence ahead. Turbulence is what they got. Within minutes, the plane was trembling, then quaking from the storm. Cracks of thunder could be heard above the roars of the engine. Lightning lit up the darkening skies. The plane jolted like a cork tossed around in a heavenly ocean. One moment, the airplane was lifted on a terrific current of air. The next, it dropped as though it was about to crash. The man was terrified, as were the other passengers. Only one person seemed perfectly calm. A little girl. She had her feet tucked beneath her as she curled up reading a book amid the mayhem. Sometimes she even closed her eyes as if she was napping. Gradually, the plane escaped the storm and finally flew peacefully on to its destination. When they were waiting to disembark, the man couldn't help asking the girl, "Why weren't you worried?" She said, "My daddy's the pilot. He told me he's taking me home. I didn't worry because I knew he was in the cockpit." Your daddy's the pilot. Don't you get it? Your daddy's the pilot. He's going to take all of us home. You see, that provides peace to us. Let's pray. Father, I know that anxiety threatens all of us. I know it's addictive in our thought pattern. I know we become so preoccupied with anxious thoughts that we have no others. But Father, we don't have to live this way. It's one of the great things that Jesus Christ has done for us. He has given us peace with you, but he also has the potential of giving us his peace, the peace of God. Father, I pray for every one of us that we are able to experience this in our lives. I challenge us, just like what Paul said, that in everything in our life, we go to you with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, because of your love and your compassion and your sovereignty and your goodness and your justice, and that you're for us and not against us. That from that, we can draw this tremendous sense of peace that's beyond all understanding, that is supernatural, but it can carry the day in our lives. Father, I pray this, not only for our good, but for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.